What kinds of stars are able to support habitable planets around them? Until now, it was thought that orbits around small red stars, called red dwarf stars, were potentially quite accommodating places for life to develop. However, Dr. Alini Vidotto from the University of St. Andrews reported at NAMM today that planets around such stars might be so strongly irradiated by stellar wind particles produced by the star's surface that the atoms within their atmospheres would gradually be vented to space. I asked Alini how this came about.
So the idea is that if the stellar wind is very intense, it can compress the magnetosphere of the planet. And the magnetic field of the planet acts like a protection for the atmosphere. So if we don't have, like the Earth, if we did not have a magnetic field, the stellar wind would impact straight into our atmosphere, and that could remove the atmosphere of the planet. And without an atmosphere, we believe that life would be more difficult to develop.
And how does the stellar wind go about stripping that atmosphere?
It's a sputtering process. We believe this is what happened with Mars, for instance. Because Mars doesn't have an intense magnetic field as the Earth, we believe that in the past, the solar wind could strip away the atmosphere of Mars. So this is why, although Mars is also in the habitable zone, it's not habitable.
Now, you've been studying in particular dwarf stars, red dwarf stars. Why is this an especial problem for those stars?
So these are stars that are very small, and because of the technologies we have nowadays in detecting planets, these stars are the stars that will be easier to detect habitable planets, which are planets that orbit in the region where liquid water could be found. So the idea is that because it's easy to detect planets in the habitable zone of red dwarf stars, they are the prime targets for searching for habitable planets.
So when you say it's easier, is that because of the selection biases in the exoplanet surveys that we're doing at the moment?
Yes, exactly, because it's essentially the technology we have so far. Maybe in the future we will be able to detect habitable planets in orbit of other stars, larger or solar type, for instance.
And why is it easier to detect habitable planets around those stars?
So, like, the methods we use are transit methods. So you look at the star and you wait until the planet crosses in front of the star and you detect the diminishment in brightness of the star. For a small star, it means that even a small planet would be able to be observed. In addition, the other bias we have in the detection techniques is that it favors the detection of planets that are close in to the star. But on the other hand, the closer the planet is to the star, the more radiation it gets. So water can evaporate if the planet is too hot, is too close to the star. But on the case of M-dwarf stars, on the red dwarf stars, because they are cool, even if the planet is orbiting close in, it would be easier for the planet to retain water, even orbiting close in. So it's a combination of the two factors: the technology we have for detection, and the fact that even a nearby planet could still have water if it were orbiting an M-dwarf star.
So on the one hand, these look like quite promising places for life to develop with liquid water quite close into these stars. What's the problem for them?
The problem is that the question of habitability doesn't only rely on the presence of liquid water. There are other factors that can hamper life to develop. So if you don't have an atmosphere, for instance, and the planet can have its atmosphere stripped away if the stellar wind can erode the planet. So there are other factors also contributing. So that's a very multidisciplinary topic.
So is the problem that these planets are very close into their stars, so they're feeling a very strong stellar wind, or is there another factor which is making these dwarf stars very good at stripping the atmospheres of their planets?
The point here is that it's very difficult to measure stellar winds. So we can measure stellar winds for the solar wind, because we are right now immersed in the solar wind, but it's very difficult to measure winds on other cool stars. We don't know a lot about the winds on red dwarf stars, but we know that these stars can have very intense magnetic fields, especially when they are young. And in our work, we are not looking at the stellar window itself, but we were looking at another type of external pressure that can compress the magnetosphere of the planet. So the bubble that protects the planet can be more compressed because of other external factors. And the factor we investigated was the magnetic field of the star, so it's the magnetic activity of the star.
And how do you go about investigating this? Is this theoretical models?
Yes, so the models that we developed were theoretical. So we have observations of magnetic fields on M-dwarf stars, on the red dwarf stars, and we use these observations to infer what would be the magnetic field at the region that surrounds the planet. And with that, we can infer what is the size of the magnetic field of an Earth twin. So if we are placing an Earth analog in orbit of these M-dwarf stars, what would be the size of their magnetospheres? And what we found is that they are more compressed, so they have smaller magnetospheres than the Earth. But then the question is whether this life could survive in a planet with a smaller magnetosphere. We don't know. We just have one data point in the habitability plot. So we are here, we know what worked for us, but we don't know what could work for other planets.
My thanks to Dr. Alini Vidotto from the University of St. Andrews. That's all for today's Naked Astronomy, but don't forget you can find more episodes of the podcast at thenakedscientist.com/astronomy. Tomorrow I'll be hearing about what the last inhabitants of the Earth might look like when the Sun swells up to become a red giant. And I'll talk to some of the amateur astronomers who are here at the National Astronomy Meeting. If you'd like to get in touch in the meantime, you can send a tweet at Naked Scientists or send an email to astronomy@thenakedscientist.com. Naked Astronomy is produced by me, Dominic Ford, and comes to you from Cambridge University with support from the Royal Astronomical Society and the Science and Technology Facilities Council.